Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed your day so far. Couple of ways you can get a hold of me. Sometimes I feel like a broken record. I kind of need to change up the beginning of the show. But there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuddle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail and a text, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. I'm just going to be up front with you. It's been a kind of a slow news day. There's really nothing that's jumping out that's like, you got to talk about this. So I'm gonna delve into a little bit of personal stuff. You know, I just got over having COVID. And for a lot of you people out there, they're like, oh, it's just a flu. No, it's not. It's not like the flu. Everybody knows how it is to get sick. You get that little feeling and your body just feels off. And you know when you're getting sick. But when I had COVID, I knew that it was something different. When I got sick the Sunday, late Sunday night, the Sunday after the Florida Gators, UCF Knights football game, the Gasparilla Bowl over in Tampa, I had to thank my good friend Colby Urban, county councilman in St. Cloud. He was an intern on my show, or not my show, but he was an intern, and I was the executive producer for the Monsters in the Morning. And he invited me over. He graduated from UCF. And I've been pretty careful. I got a little complacent because I had went to the Bucks-Dolphins game with Ciroc. By the way, if you want to check out his podcast, it's the Weekly Review with Ciroc. You can follow him on Twitter. It is Ciroc the Mike. At Ciroc the Mike. S-E-R-A-K. Or C. No K. I don't know. Anyways, just look Ciroc up on Twitter. He's got a great podcast. I need to reach out to him. So I went to the Bucks-Dolphins game, and I thought I would be okay going to the UCF, University of Florida football game, and that's when I got sick. Couldn't have gotten sick at a worse time. Because my mom ended up getting this new house, and I had to do all the moving. I loaded up all this stuff. My mom did help me a lot. And by the way, listen, I don't want anybody to think that I'm bitching or complaining about having to do stuff for my mom. No, I'm not at all. I have unconditional love for her. And I know that's what my dad would want. My dad would want me to step up and help my mom out. And that's what I'm doing. So I don't want anybody to think that I am complaining about my mom, or I am saying that I want to get out, or I want to get out on my own. No. Because my parents took care of me, And I really do think that it is the something that every child should do. If your parents give you nothing but the best of what they have to offer and raise you the right way, you owe it to them. You owe it to them to help them out. And I would do it either way because that's just what you're supposed to do. But the move could not have happened at a worse time because it set me back a week. Thank God that my mom had already moved into her new place right when I caught COVID. And she didn't get it. My mom is double vaccinated, has had her booster. She is a what you would group as a high-risk person. She's had chemotherapy 2 times in her life, has diabetes. So, yeah, the last thing that she needs is to catch COVID for me. And right after my dad dying, I don't know if I could come back from giving my mom COVID and she getting sick and dying. I just would not be able to recover from that. And the thing is that, you know, I've only got a couple of people that I can count on. My mom, I got Colton, I got Amy, I got Soul Brother Kevin. I had a great conversation last night with Soul Brother Kevin. And the thing is that me and Kevin, it's eerily similar of what we're both going through right now. Kevin has stepped up. He's helping out his parents. And I'm not surprised because that is the type of person that Soul Brother Kevin is. But some of the things we talked about was, you know, being an only child. He's an only child. He is adopted. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying, oh, because he's adopted, he doesn't have the same connection that I have that I had with my dad and the relationship that I have with my mom. You know, there's no difference. I mean, Kevin's mom and dad have taken care of him just like, there's no difference at all. I shouldn't even have to explain. But Kevin is also a only child, just like myself. And, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, it must be nice being an only child because you didn't have to compete with other siblings. You didn't have to fight for attention. You know, you weren't getting to the wayside because of one of your other siblings got more attention than you did. No. But that is not the case. Because being an only child, it's really, really hard. There are so many days where I wish that I had a brother or a sister. And everybody tell, oh, you got cousins, you got uncles, you got all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, I know that. I got a pretty good relationship with some of my cousins. Some of them I never, ever want to see again. And eventually, I'll get into that. I will. But after my mom's gone, I don't have anybody. I always wanted to have a family of my own. But at 42, I just don't see it happening. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not trying to just, you know, think of the worst things. I've done a lot of self-improvement. And I'll get to the self-improvement stuff here in a few. And I know that guys can have kids later on in their life. But also at the same time, I think about this stuff. If I was a kid, I wouldn't want to be graduating from high school and my dad be in his 60s. Because think about that. If I am 42 right now, and say tomorrow I somehow had a kid. And by the time that kid graduated out of high school, I would be in my goddamn 60s. And I just don't think that's fair to a child. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong on the whole thing. So after my mom goes away, I have nobody. I have nobody at all. And like I said, I talk to Amy. Me and Amy Sinha have great conversations with each other. And I could see myself having a relationship with her, but she's also across the Atlantic in the middle of a pandemic. And it's just a little difficult to be able to go and see somebody because I've got a lot of responsibilities going on here in the United States. So it's not like I can just pick up. And I have, you know, tried to meet other people, you know, in the past couple of years. And it's just like, I get like just completely disrespected all the time. And I'm just talking about this. I used to go to therapy and stuff. I used to talk to a shrink, a therapist. And it really didn't do me any good because their resolution to my problems is to throw pills on my throat. And I really do think that's the reason why I'm in the situation that I am. Because I really do have an addictive personality. Like, with anything in my life. Drugs, alcohol, anything to make myself feel better. I have an addictive personality. But also at the same time, my addictive personality has helped me out with my work ethic. Because when I go into something, I go all in. If it's drugs, I go all in. If it's alcohol, I go all in. I'll give you another example. And this is actually a good one. With me working out and improving my life, I go all in. That is all that I think about. And I've never wanted to be one of those motivational speakers. I don't want to be like Walter Coggins. I don't want to be like Tony Robbins. Gary Vee seems like one of the realest guys that tries to help people out. He does not seem fake at all. Maybe it's because he curses like a sailor in a lot of his speeches and stuff like that. But self-improvement, especially in a pandemic, is a very, very lonely place. Because a lot of the people that I try to be friends with, a lot of the people that I try to have relationships with, just all check out. They check out immediately. And sometimes I really do think that is because of what I do for a living, how much of a social media imprint that I have online. Because when I do meet new people, they're able to go and check me out and see all the dumb stuff that I've done. And they take that as the gospel and think that's how I really, really am. And don't think that I'm just playing a character to entertain people. Maybe that was a problem in my marriage. Maybe a lot of my ex-wife's friends used to be like, oh, man, why are you with Patrick? Why are you with Tuttle? Because of all the stuff that I've done. I'm not trying to compare myself to Howard Stern, but, I mean, if you look at the movie Private Parts, Allison, his ex-wife, would be riding around in the car, but, I mean that could all be Hollywooded out. But they all of her friends were like, oh, man, why do you let your husband talk like that? talk about you and embarrass you and stuff. So I really do think that has a lot to do with meeting new people. But back to what I was saying, self-improvement is a very lonely place. I haven't drank since 2019. Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's the other thing. You know, right after, at the beginning of 2020, I got on all the social media or social dating apps and stuff like that. And one of the problems that I had in my marriage was I wasn't like an open book. A lie is a lie. And I would withhold information from my ex-wife because I didn't want to stress her out. I didn't want to stress her out about some of the problems because I wanted to take care of it without her knowing, and it caught up with me. It definitely caught up with me, and it's still a lie because I wasn't open and honest about everything. But now it just seems like everybody can check me out. I've been busting my ass. I haven't been drinking, like I said. I've been working out. I've lost a lot of weight. I'm in really, really good shape. I'm not trying to be conceited or have a big head, but you know what? I think I look pretty goddamn good right now, in my opinion. Do I need to get a haircut? Yes. Do I need to shave? Yes. But that's like on the bottom of the list of things that I need to do. And I know that in the long run, it's going to pay off. That's why I said improving yourself is a very lonely place, especially in a pandemic. And I want to apologize for just this little bit of 20-minute rant that I just went on. Because I've always thought your job as a broadcaster and a content provider is to bring the best entertainment that you can bring, because the reason why people listen to what I do or Bubba the Love Sponge, The Monsters in the Morning, Mike Calta, Drew Garabo, The Bennington Show, I mean, if you notice, those are all shows that I've worked with in the past. Their job is to help you get your mind off of your problems. That is why I like radio, because people are driving into jobs that they hate. They're going in and they hate their boss, they hate their coworkers, their other half, their girlfriend, their fiance, their wife is bitching at them all day, and it could be your husband, could be your boyfriend, could be your fiance. I'm not like throwing it out there and say, oh, this only happens to guys. It happens to women, too. But also, with being a content provider, a lot of these hosts and people won't keep it real. They don't live their life on the air as an open book. And I think that is how you make a connection with your supporters and your audience, is telling people what's going on in your life. And it's a very lonely place right now. But I'm sorry that I kind of used you as a therapist or a shrink. But I just had to get it out there. And I apologize. All right, so for the most part, growing up in the South, now there are a lot of parents that don't do this. But my dad always taught me to respect my elders, people that are older than me. Hell, matter of fact, I say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, to people that might even be younger than me. And sometimes people get offended when I, like, with women. Even women that are younger than me that I say yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, sometimes they get offended. Like, oh, I'm not old enough for you to call me ma'am. And the only reason that I do that is because even with my dad being dead, being gone, like, I know that he can't smack me in the back of the head. But that is just the way that I was raised, because if I didn't say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, my dad, and I don't want you to think he was being abusive. No, he wasn't. Like, it would just be a little tap, a little bit of a wake-up call or reminder that you got to be respectful. And I've always respected my elders. But also, at the same time, a lot of older people take advantage of that. Because there are laws out there, and I can understand why there are those laws. Because if, for example, say an older person over 65, I mean, by the rule of law, over 65 is somebody that is considered elderly. And I do think that the elderly people do take advantage of that. Because there are a lot of elderly people, and I've heard this from a lot of people, that sometimes they get a bad rap that elderly people are just rude to be rude. But at the same time, you cannot get into a fight with somebody over 65, because your ass is going to go to jail. So say if you get into a fight with somebody that is under 65, yeah, you're still going to get in trouble. You might do some jail time. You might get arrested. But if you get into a physical altercation with somebody over 65, just double that. Times it by two. And I think that's a good law. I do. But at the same time, I think elderly people do take advantage of that. And I think that's why some elderly people are just rude to be rude. Now, do I think that this elderly person on this airplane getting ready for a flight, I actually think they might have been in the air when this happened. But everybody is supposed to wear a mask. It is like a federal law. If you're on the airplane, yes, it does suck. If you're on a, like, East Coast to West Coast or West Coast to East Coast, and you got to wear a mask that long. If you're eating, you can take it off. But at the same time, I can understand where the elderly would be upset if somebody wasn't wearing a mask. Because the elderly are at high risk when it comes to the COVID-19, the coronavirus. And some people would say, oh, why are they traveling? Back to what my earlier conversation is, that we're getting to a point where people are just getting burned out. Because, look, life is short. Are you willing to throw away a lot of your life not to go out and do things? No, I have been very vigilant when it comes to being careful. The one time that I went out to the Gators game, I got sick. Did I have a good time? Yes. Would it have been worth it if I would have got my mom sick and she would have died? No, it wouldn't have been worth it. But life is short. You got to get out and live your life. Everything has just been, like, completely misconstrued because of CDC, Fauci. And I'm not, like, debunking any of the stuff that they're saying, but you can also understand why people would be upset and kind of confused, because we get new advice every other week. Now they're telling us we need different masks. We got to go with those N90 masks. And I understand why people are getting upset. But you still got to be vigilant. But this one woman, she definitely might have been late 20s, 30s. It's kind of hard to tell. But this guy was getting upset. This elderly gentleman was getting upset because she wasn't even trying to put on her mask. And I guess the guy called her out and she got upset and ended up assaulting the elderly guy. And your ass is going to jail. You're going to jail for a little bit of time, more than what it would be if you would have assaulted somebody under 65. You guys all know the problems that I had with the owner of the Hobo Fish Camp. You know how many times, like, he told my mom to go F herself, was completely rude to my dad, was rude to me. And my mom and dad, well, my dad got to the point towards the end, like, he didn't care. Like, my dad would have slapped the crap out of him or even shot his ass. But also at the same time, a lot of people are like, oh, why are you causing problems with your parents at the Hobo Fish Camp? I'm not going to let some old dude like that be completely rude to my parents that have been there for 13 years. I'm not going to stand by idly and let him do something like that. Now, was I ever close to ever hitting him? No. Because that means he would have won if I would have assaulted him in any way. And that's why I went in different means to be able to handle it. Like, I knew what I, by the eyes of the law, was able to do. And I could say whatever I wanted to him. I could call him a mother effer, a sea sucker. The guy ended up having a stroke a couple of years ago, and that's when his attitude started to change. And I even told him the last time he called the cops on me, I was like, hey, you have lost your mind since you had that last stroke. And when I was walking away, I was like, I hope you have another one. I hope you have another one so you die and we can move on and things can get better around here. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But guess what? Me saying that type of stuff is not a crime. It's not against the law. I can say whatever I want to. I can't threaten him and say that I'm going to kill him. But I can say, hey, I hope you die of your next stroke so we can move on with this whole ordeal.
Who invited you?
I'm eating.
Drink your ass up. Don't you dare talk to me like that.
This chick definitely does not know how to work. Because, I mean, the one thing that older people, the elderly, are good at, they're good at pushing buttons. I mean, they're just as bad as a woman scorned, a woman that you cheated on, a woman that you've just been a complete dickhead to. That women know how to push buttons, but the elderly people are like, hold my beer because I'm going to hit the biggest button of them all.
Stand your ass up.
Sit down, Karen.
The old guy just used the buzzword. Sit your ass down, Karen. But, I mean, at the same time, this woman is like, stand your ass up, old man. Stand your ass up, old man, because I'm ready to throw hands. Once again, I know a lot of you guys are all gonna say, well, the old man was asking for it. No, you just cannot hit an elderly person. You just can't do it. Even though this old man told her, like, said, sit your ass down, bitch. You just cannot hit an elderly person. You just can't do it because guess what? You can say all the mean words, hurt Philioma, you just cannot hit an elderly person. It's going to end up bad for you. So I know that the audio is not that great because they are in flight. But the whole reason that I wanted to play this clip, this African American woman was there. She was the one that recorded this whole video, this whole like domestic dispute. And her commentary at the end after they've gotten off the plane, because while this African-American lady is doing this commentary, they are walking this woman that assaulted the elderly person into the police cruiser. And this, I know that the audio of the whole confrontation wasn't that great, but man, it was all worth it just for this commentary.
She went crazy on the airplane.
I mean, come on. That is a great audio drop. Man, she went crazy on the airplane.
She went crazy on the airplane. Punched this man in the face, spit on him, scratched him.
Yeah,
poured hot water on my leg.
Poured hot water on my leg. Come on. I mean, that's some grade A material if I've ever heard it. And, you know, like, you can't act up anywhere anymore. And people don't realize this. So, the technology, everybody has a camera phone now. Everybody has a camera on their smartphone. It all began when Steve Jobs walked onto the stage and debuted the first iPhone. I mean, that was a game changer. Could you imagine if we would have had the iPhone on the day of 9/11/2001? Because a lot of the footage that you saw on 9/11 was these big, lunky, awkward type cameras. I know that they had handhelds at the time. But could you imagine the type of video footage, how it would have been documented way more if Steve Jobs would have came out on that stage, hell, 9/10/2001. This is something that has been going on for a really, really long time. We've all been there. We've all had that friend coming up on New Year's Eve, like the day of New Year's Eve, when your good friend, like, takes off and he's not going to see you until after midnight. He's like, hey, man, see you next year. We've all done that. Hell, I've even done it. But at the same time, it makes you look like a complete douchebag. Hell, I've looked like a douchebag because I've done it before. But the next story I want to talk about is these twins were born right around midnight. The first twin was born on New Year's Eve. The other twin was born on New Year's Day. And it's kind of funny. You know, growing up, we had 20 acres worth of land. And we did a lot of clearing out where I grew up in DeLeon Springs. We would cut down shrubs and trees. And we would always pile it up in the biggest pasture that we had. And we would just pile it up all year long. All that debris that we would pile up would dry out. And my parents would have the biggest New Year's Eve party every single year. And I don't know, like, maybe some of you guys don't know the iron worker or steel erection lifestyle. But, I mean, they're pretty tough guys. And pretty tough guys have to have a certain type of woman to be with them. So, you know, they're cool. They're not going to be offended by anything they see. And my parents would have that New Year's Eve party because my dad had his own business. He never graduated out of high school, but I would put him up against any engineer. He could read a blueprint better than anybody. And hell, even my grandfather on my dad's side, my grandmother, they would even come down because they'd be like, hell yeah, one of the sons got all these friends and he's a big swinging D. My grandparents even came down and it would get to the point where they would party so hard. We had a double wide trailer. This is completely ass backwards. But we had a double wide trailer and you would think if we had a pool, if I said we had a pool, you'd be like, oh yeah, you got an above ground pool. Nope. Nope. It was a pretty good sized pool in ground. And they got so drunk, my dad and one of his buddies got so drunk that they put a little John boat in the pool and started fishing in there. And they didn't have, there wasn't any fish in that pool. That's just how lit that they were. And the funny thing is, later on in life, after the storm of the century, because we had a screened-in enclosure over the top of the pool, that it just got so dilapidated that we started picking goldfish and catfish. One of my dad's good friends, for Christmas, he would bring a soft-shell turtle over every year and just throw it in the pool. And it was just a great, great time. But we ended up having that, my mom and dad ended up having that New Year's Eve party every single year. And one of my dad's employees, really, really tough guy, him and his wife actually, because my dad had a trailer out there that was a fifth wheel, and some of the employees that were on hard times would live on the property, but they would do work around the property. They would clean up and stuff. And him and his old lady was living on the property at the time. And she ended up, her water broke on New Year's Eve, right out there the whole time. And they ended up having to call the ambulance and stuff. Kind of weird. The ambulance had a hard time making it down a pretty sandy dirt road about 2 miles in to get to where we were at. But the child that they ended up having, it might have been 93, 94, was the first baby born in the state of Florida that year. And if you're the first baby born, you get all types of like accoutrements. A lot of prizes, a lot of promo stuff. And that's what ended up happening. But in this next story, they made a big deal about, oh, these twins were born in different years.
Monterey County's first birth of the new year happened at midnight this morning. Eileen Trujillo, a healthy baby girl from Greenfield, weighing 5 pounds, 24 ounces. She was born in Natividad Hospital. But that's not all. She's a twin. Eileen arrived 15 minutes after her brother, Antonio, who was born in 2021. He came at 11:45 last night at 6 pounds, 1 ounce. Their birth is very special because they were born on different days, months, and years.
Is it really a big year, big deal? Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to semantics. Yeah, the other one's going to be able to say, yeah, I am your older sibling. But it's just down to mere minutes that they're born in different years. And I'm telling you right now, if I was the parents, I would be damned if I'm going to celebrate 2 days in a row different birthdays for the both of them. I'd be like, look, when they got old enough that they knew what was going on, they knew what birthdays were, I'd be like, all right, we're having this on the December 31st or January 1st. What do you guys want? Because we're not having two separate birthdays, not even less than hours apart. We're just not doing it. I mean, I've also wondered this, like, kids that are born on December 25th, do you celebrate Christmas and their birthday on the same day? Yes, you do. Screw that. I'm not giving you Christmas presents one day And I'm not going to bring you a birthday cake the next just so you can celebrate. Guess what? You are blowing out the candles right before you start pulling presents out of the tree. Guess what? You're blowing out birthday candles before you're pulling out presents under the tree from a fake Santa Claus. That's the other thing. Dads get such a bad rap. Dads are out there busting their ass working overtime to buy their kids a PS5 or the newest Xbox or Nintendo Switch just to give credit to a fat pedophile that's supposed to be crawling down the chimney. Yeah, that dads have to play that whole gimmick up and not get all the credit that they deserve. I gotta tell you, I apologize that today's show, I know that I probably sound bitter. And tomorrow's show is gonna be way, way different. Friday's show is gonna be a lot of fun. I'm gonna, get your minds off of everything. I apologize about using you guys as my own therapist, but I'm just trying to keep it real for everybody. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds, .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.